"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at AvalonWaterways.com.
Oh, we got a heavyweight show today, huh?
We do. Can we lift it?
Oh, let me tell you, 5 o'clock, Rick Caruso.
How about that?
Running for mayor in L.A. He's going to be back on.
He is?
Five. Yes.
Have there been ads? I haven't seen any.
There have been about 3-4 ads.
Just a few.
A minute.
I understand he's a wealthy man. I don't get it.
Brian Dolly is coming on. He's the Republican running against Gavin Newsom. He'll be on at 3 o'clock.
Is he running ads? I have actually not seen them.
No.
I have not seen a Brian Dolly ad.
He could really
use... I'm being literal this time.
He could really use Caruso's money.
Newsom's not running ads either, except for the ballot measure. And he's running the one on the abortion measure, too.
Yes, in Florida or Guam or... I think he's running ads in the Philippines now. Anyway, Brian Dolly at 3, running for governor. Rick Caruso at 5 o'clock on the show, running for mayor. So.
And Monday... at 5 o'clock, it could be you coming on the show. Can you hear me? You.
That's right. We don't just.
What are you running for?
We don't
I'm
just.
I'm talking
book,
to John. I'm talking to the audience.
We don't just book big names here. We also book really, really tiny names.
And we don't charge.
That's
you
right.
Get 30 seconds. Valuable KFI airtime for free to pitch whatever you want to pitch for office.
Some of it's valuable.
Some of the airtime.
Some of it is. Some of it, you know, there's a discount.
It's 4 a.m. What? if that's you or somebody you know, it is Monday. The hour of candidates will be at 5:05, and it's really first come, first serve. So jot down this number. This is for Monday, not now, although I know they lock all the lines anyway, so don't bother calling it. 1-800-520-1534, which is 1-KFI. Isn't that great how they did that? That will be from Monday in the 5 o'clock hour. In about 15 minutes, we're still giving out cash, inflation bonus money, right? Right?
Yes.
There'll be another exciting keyword coming.
Yes.
Which, announcer voice will announce, and then John Cobalt will tell you how you get the money.
I don't have the list of keywords, so...
You don't have them?
I don't know if anybody showed up today. I forgot. What's the day people show up for work? Is that today? Or maybe not.
Oh, I forgot. You're right. The office is usually
empty.
I thought Thursdays they're there. I thought Friday and Monday nobody's there. Is that what I heard?
Actually,
I'm reading surveys around the country. That is what's happening. People are being told to come back 2 to 3 days, and most are picking Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. They like that long weekend thing.
Right, which means they're not working on Mondays and Fridays. If they're...
Well, they're working from home very productively.
You think they are?
I read a long story that... the results in 2020 were phenomenal in terms of work productivity from home. And now this year, now that people have really become entrenched at home, they're getting lazier and less interested.
Because people were scared if they were out of sight that something bad might happen to them. But now they're not scared anymore and nobody's looking over their shoulder. So,
You know. And because so many others are working from home, you don't feel the same competitive urges.
Right.
That you would.
No.
I mean, I saw another story which says the most likely people to be laid off are the remote workers. They're going to be possibly the first in rounds of layoffs that could be coming should the big recession hit us.
You know right away who's got drive and who doesn't.
No, I know.
It's instant test.
In fact, later on in the show, and it's, you mentioned this the other day, and then I just found this today in the New York Post, NILFs. We're going to talk about NILFs. These are men who are NILF, not in the labor force. And the number has grown alarmingly in the last several years of men, good working age, you know, 25 to 60, just lying there.
Yep.
They've had it.
They're prime years. Not doing anything.
Not doing anything. They've just pulled back and resigned, and we'll tell you supposedly what the reasons are. We want to take a moment now on the John and Ken show to give our best wishes to Craig Cope. Craig is the owner of the Norco Market and Liquor Store, which this past August, in fact, I had him on the air exactly 3 months ago. Well, he was behind the counter very early in the morning. Craig, I believe, owns the store, and he doesn't mind working a lot of the shifts. And that's what he was doing that night. And he looked up at his monitor and he saw a car pull into the parking lot and he saw guys with guns and he said, this is not going to be good. Well, one of them came into the store to begin the robbery, and Craig wasted no time from behind the counter. And he shot the guy.
I can listen to that all day.
That's like the best audio of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. stupid robber screaming, he shot my arm off.
That's... He comes into the store and he goes freeze, and then Craig fires at him and he goes running out to his friends, and you can hear him screaming that he shot my arm off, and they don't get in the car.
That's what it feels like to have your arm shot off.
To drive away. I don't know ultimately what happened to his arm. I didn't follow his hospital care. They were all arrested, all four of them. So Craig did what anybody has to do, particularly in today's world. He stood his ground, and he wasn't going to wait for this guy to shoot him. We're taking a moment because Craig apparently suffered a stroke. It says here, last week he had a stroke. They don't know how long he was down. His wife found him. This update from Fox 11 says he's not able to talk or move.
Yeah,
it's not good because he's 80. So they're holding prayer vigils and sending cards to the Cope family. So we just wanted to add our best wishes, because that's you know, it's been a really tough year for him, and obviously this is the worst development.
Yeah, all the stress probably didn't help.
We're going to play this one clip from that interview from August, because I'm glad you picked this one, Eric, because he was talking about a previous robber that apparently came into a store. And Craig had a conversation with them. And Craig was, John, obviously Craig is aware of people like George Gascon and what's happening with the criminal justice system. A lot of my interview with them was that he's just frustrated with the fact that nothing happens to these guys. You know, they just spin right through the system. And they're back out there again. So why wouldn't they want to continue to try to steal money? So let's listen to him talk about this story.
As far as the political aspect, I've been in business quite a while, and these people that are doing some of what they're doing now, it's just hard to imagine whatever their motivation could be, because they don't really have a clue what's going on. They've probably never been in a circumstance like that. I don't think they would. I don't think they could do what I do and a lot of other people like me do. And if it doesn't change, I mean, it's just getting worse and worse. I had a guy one time that I had taken into custody. I had him handcuffed and down on the ground waiting for the sheriff to come take him off my hand. He was a burglar. I apprehended him. He wasn't a bad guy. And we get to talking, and I was asking him, you know, why do you do this? And I never forget. He told me, he says, I'm a burglar. That's my job.
Wow.
So he viewed it as a job. When he said, I get up when it gets dark and I go burglarize places, and that's my job. Well, if he views that as his job, I don't see what's going to change that except lock him up. And maybe he'll have time to figure it out, time he gets out. But if we don't make some changes, things are going to get continually worse. If I've inspired anybody to, you know, think a little different, that'd be great, because we got a mess going here, and it's got to be changed.
That is,
I like the way you put that, right? Because that is the way probably some of these crooks treat things today.
Oh, yeah.
With the justice system being just a shambles the way it is. This is just my job. I got to go out and do my job tonight. I got to go steal stuff.
Yeah, I've been convinced of that for a long time. This is what they do. This is why you can't rehabilitate them. This is why you don't prattle about second chances. This is what they do, and they make their money. And it's relatively easy. It is not hard, if you have a gun in your hand, to drive up to a convenience store or a jewelry store, point a gun, and say, give me what you got, or smash and grab it. It's easy work. And you drive over and, you know, resell the crap to a fence, and you're in business. And it's not hard to do. These people are sociopaths that they don't really fear anything. And why should they fear anyone? Because you have a gun. They don't. Craig Cope was a rare exception. And there's not going to be any consequences in L.A. County.
We read a opinion column in the Wall Street Journal by the former Attorney General, William Barr. And he said it is a small percentage of the criminals who commit most of the crimes over and over again. The answer is simply keep them locked up. We're in a situation in California now. How many times have we talked about this, how the prison population has dropped dramatically the last few years? The pandemic speeding things up. Things like Proposition 57 adding to the misery. Prop 47. What we're having is more of those people are free. Yeah. And just like the guy that Craig talked about, this is their job now. Yeah. Because they can get away with it.
These are stupid, destructive, foolish policies. And it's proven every time, you know, you just look at the news every day. Every day it's proven how stupid, destructive, and foolish these policies are.
Guys driving vans into high-end stores in Beverly Hills, right? And stealing stuff twice in just a few months.
I'd love to ask some of these nutty progressive politicians. Except, I swear to God, I really question their motivations, but that's another story. What would make somebody give up a life of crime if they're getting away with it and making good money and there's no consequences? Why would
nothing.
They?
How hard is the work? I mean, you could get shot like Craig did, but normally you're in and out of a store in a few minutes and you could have thousands of dollars. What could beat that with their skill levels?
Right. So build me the case that they're going to change their behavior without consequences, without serious prison time. How do they change their behavior? They will never. You'll just get more of it. That makes perfect sense. Not to us. Probably to you at home. But then you're going to go out on Tuesday. You may have already voted. You're going to vote for some nutball politician who believes the opposite, who doesn't think that criminals will keep stealing stuff and hurting people if there's no consequences.
And if you don't lock them up and keep them locked up, there's no choice but for people like Craig Cope to shoot their arms off. That's all there is to it. So we wish him well. Again, Craig Cope, the owner of the Norco Market and Liquor, who shot an armed robber who came charging into his store back in August, has suffered a stroke, and we wish him and his family the best. Your chance for some money, a keyword is on the way. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. All right, and of course, your chances are much better to win the money that John just talked about than the dopey Powerball. The prize will now be over $1.5 billion come the next drawing Saturday night. The Wall Street Journal provided us with a few answers in an article about the lotteries and focusing, of course, on the Powerball. Here's how... Oh, and by the way, John, the article came with a picture of a crowd lined up outside a liquor store in Hawthorne, California.
Which one do you think that is? That's the one. We went there twice.
Bluebird
Liquor Store. That's right.
We did that twice?
We did that twice a long time ago and then not so long ago.
Okay, I remember which is the time we threw the tickets in the air and they all went.
The second time, which is one of my all-time favorite moments.
It was. You sat there and you were trying to figure out what to do because
they gave us a bunch of free lottery tickets.
And you were like, let's just throw them in the air and have them fight over them.
What a scramble.
It was quite a mob scene. I mean, imagine if one of those had been the big ticket. And it wasn't $1 billion back then, I don't think.
No, after I did it, I thought, uh-oh. Because people could have gotten hurt. There could have been fist fights.
We created a riot outside the store.
That's right.
Police almost
incited a riot. I had no idea people were going to act like that for lottery tickets.
Well, there are several reasons why these lotteries have grown to big numbers, like over $1 billion. This will be the third highest. If nobody wins Saturday, this is going to become the biggest jackpot in mega lottery history. This would be the multi-state lotteries. 34% of Powerball ticket sales fund the big jackpot. Think about that. Now, another 16% go to the lower tier prizes. The other 50% goes to various state programs, operating costs, and retailer commissions. So, yeah, because the guy that sells you the ticket, in fact, the woman that sold me a ticket said that she could get $1 million. That was the drawing for last night. She said I'd get $1 million if I sell the winning ticket at my store here. So the choice you have is to take the money in a lump sum, which is what everybody's done. The last time anybody took an annuity, it was 2014. That's because it's paid out over 30 years, and most money managers tell people you can do better with investing this, so take the lump sum.
Maybe.
So
maybe it used to be that way.
So
not this year.
I don't know. You know, John didn't take a lot of. Did you take any finance courses? Present value, future value of money.
No. I understand it. You don't have to take a course to learn how the world.
Well, I tried
works.
To explain this the other day, and you were flummoxed, so I didn't know if I.
Oh,
should.
I didn't know what you were explaining.
I was explaining this. In other words, if you decide to take the lump sum versus the 30-year thing, they have to figure out exactly what the value of that money is today, present value, you know, versus the 30 years. And that's where, of course, you have a big drop. It says here that the lump sum will be $745 million. Even though the advertised jackpot is $1.5 billion, that if you choose the lump sum, that's the total that you're going to get, $745 million. And one of the reasons is the rising interest rates, because the way they compute this is based on, you know, the Fed setting the interest, they just raised it by another 0.75 percentage point increase. So the benchmark now sits between 3.75% and 4%. So in order to reduce the money to the present value for a lump sum, they have to take into account that kind of interest rate, which is one of the reasons that the jackpot is bigger. But the other reason is that they rejiggered the jackpots a few years ago to try to get people more interested, because once, and isn't this weird? This is actually me. When the jackpots cross $500 million, that's probably the only time I play. And it's in the story. I looked at it and I said, I can't believe that. But apparently, according to research, that affects a lot of people. They don't bother until they see $500 million and they go, okay, today I'll buy a ticket. They think it's because it's a nice, round, cool number that attracts people.
If you do wait until that moment and it gets more people attracted, it raises the pot. But you're much less likely to win it because more people are attracted.
Well, the odds of having a winning ticket are always the same, 1 in 292 million, but you are correct. You may have to share the prize. So that increases the chances of you having to share the prize when more people buy tickets. But it's a bigger pot. So in 2015, they increased the cost of the ticket. I think it was, it's $2. I think it was a dollar. I don't remember. And they altered the game to make it easier to win the smaller prizes, but that reduced the odds of winning the big prize. They did this on purpose because there was beginning to be a waning interest in some of these lotteries. So they were trying to figure out a way.
Well, because almost
and
everybody
the research
loses
showed
every
that people
time.
Love the big prizes.
The whole thing is ridiculous to me.
I know.
I mean, your odds of winning, you're 1 out of 292 million. Count to 292 million. Let's start. See how long it takes. I'm just astounded.
When you buy
how...
more than one ticket, John, you see, it increases your chances marginally, even if you buy 10 tickets.
I mean,
only 3.8% of drawings so far this year have had a winner. Back in 2014, it was like 11%. So that's why these prizes keep rolling up to big numbers. And by the end of this article, they're saying, well, you know what they're thinking? They want to maybe rejigger it so we can get $2 billion prizes to get people even more excited. That's how it works with human nature, to get them caught up in the huge... Because as one guy puts it in the story, if you want $100 million, that's pretty cool. It's a lot of money. That's plenty of money. I mean, even if it's not $100 million that they pay you for a lump sum, it's still quite a jackpot. But for some reason, $500 million or more, people buy tickets.
People are numerically and mathematically illiterate. You know how long it would take to count to 292 million if you did one count a second. It would take you 9 years, 3 months, 15 hours, 6 minutes, and 40 seconds.
Look at that. Oh, you just computed that? Or you just
No, I put it into Google. Yeah. So it would take you over 9 years to count to 292 million. But, you know.
No, you're the smart one. You don't bother. I already bought Saturday's tickets.
And you're Mr. Accountant. You're Mr. Efficiency.
I am Mr. Idiot. Johnny Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
When it comes to a thriving career, everyone could use a little support, especially when it comes to transitions. At LHH, we're committed to personalized support, insights, and resources that lead to more job opportunities. No matter what role a professional has in your organization, our services offer an experience that fits each individual. And for organizations, LHH provides consultative support and guidance through the entire outplacement or career transition process. It's outplacement reimagined. Visit LHHtalent.com today.
Tomorrow is the day we play Moist Line Calls. So you still have a little more time to leave a message that could be included. Use the iHeartRadio app. The microphone icon is the way to connect to the Moist Line. Call the toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886.
We have Brian.
Dippity-Doo's opponent, right, is coming on at 3:05.
Brian Dolly, the Republican candidate for governor, he's at 3 o'clock. And then Rick Caruso, running for mayor in L.A., at 5 o'clock.
And exciting news, Joe Biden's back in Southern California. He'll be campaigning in Orange County area for a couple of congressional members.
Leisure World.
Nobody else wanted him. I guess they're worried about a couple of the races.
I think the Democrats are going to lose a few seats here, too.
But
it doesn't matter. It's Congress people.
Aren't we just down to Tom McClintock, the only Republican left in California Congress?
I forgot what the breakout is. I think there's seven.
No, there's Mike Garcia. There's a few, I know.
There's a few.
There's Daryl Issa still there.
Yeah,
I was just looking at his book the other day. Remember he signed a book for us, his biography or one of his?
I don't know if I read it. Oh, there's 11 Republicans? Yeah, there's 11 Republicans. I mean, much of the Central Valley is still Republican.
Yeah.
You know, half Orange County.
That's probably pretty safe.
Yeah. You know, Riverside, San Bernardino. But
all right, we'll talk about that. I thought I saw a story where Newsom was going to show up and appear with him, but in Oceanside. Speaking of Newsom... And you're right to have picked this column out because this woman has become, what would you call her? The dopey rookie columnist of the year for the El Segundo Tribune?
Yeah,
Anita Chabria?
She is rookie of the year among empty-headed progressive columnists for the Times. I
mean, normally it takes a while before we start to learn the names and the dopiness of El Segundo Times columnists. But this lady jettisoned pretty much right to the top earlier this year with a couple of doozies. But this time, you know, the big story is, and she fell right for the trap because it looks like she sat down with Newsom in person. And the headline is, Newsom rejects every local homeless plan in the state, demanding more ambition. This is a guy that's been governor since 2018, right?
You know,
or 2019.
This is really curious, and the empty Anita Chabria, or is that, how do you say it?
Chabria.
She fell for it because the response is, you've been here 4 years. And in fact, one of the commenters in this story, if you scroll down to the comments, printed a quote that Newsom had made in 2004 when he was running for San Francisco mayor, and he promised he was going to clean up homelessness. He says the same thing every election cycle, and nothing happens. Because now we're talking about 18 years of Newsom in either... He's either the San Francisco mayor, lieutenant governor, now the governor, and everything's gotten worse. But he has these brief periods when he's running where he really talks a good game. You know,
look at the buzzwords here. If need be, I'll be the mayor of California. If places can't or won't do it for themselves, we're going to throw down a bit of a gauntlet. Full of all these buzzwords, typical of him. Like all full of bravado, and I'm taking charge. Such BS. I'm taking accountability. I love this state. It breaks my heart that people are just trashing us.
And they talk about how he's going to be reviewing plans that cities and counties, I guess, submit to clean up homelessness. And if he doesn't like the plans, they're not going to get the money.
Yeah, $600 million is supposed to be divided among 75 governments and service providers.
But she highlighted one applicant that included a partnership among multiple entities, right? Probably multiple nonprofit entities who were all going to get a cut of the tax money. And right. The application promised not to allow homelessness in its area to grow by more than 71%. That's their goal.
It's a nice, interesting number they pick, 71%.
But no, that's to limit the growth rate to 71%.
Yes, I know, that's absurd.
Not to cut it 71%, to limit the growth rate to 71%. And this is the application to get tax money out of Newsom. I looked at that, it's like you've got to bulldoze the whole system. Obviously, these are parasites just looking to stick their head in the trough.
Listen to this number. Since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, the state has provided $15 billion to cities and counties to fight homelessness. But then, of course, she drops the usual, and we don't know where they get these stats. For every one person housed, two people become homeless in California. In the Bay Area, it's three by some estimates. Are you sure that's not the same person that you think you housed and fell back into homelessness? I'm very suspect of that stat every time I read it. Because that's their excuse for saying, it's tough, we're making a difference, but more and more people fall into homelessness every day. We can't keep up.
I just don't know if I believe that. They fall into homelessness or they took a Greyhound bus here? How come every census of homeless people I've seen indicates that a big majority came from another state? This is what fries me.
But you're right. The plans promise to lower unsheltered homelessness in the state by 2% the next few years. You wouldn't notice that then. 2%?
No.
That is ambitious.
The whole story is about Newsom getting angry that he's going to take over this entire process. But even the most optimistic predictions still allow that it's going to grow worse, which means everything that they plan on doing and all the money they plan on spending is going to go to waste. Because I'm telling you, they're moving here. They are moving here because a normal person, if the rent goes too high in a city, you move out of the city. You move to a cheaper part of town or a cheaper part of the county, or you move to another state. That's what a normal person does. This is nonsense that they've fallen into homelessness.
Because now the norm is to not do that and to just squat on the corner.
And so the whole premise of this column is to give Newsom a platform to stand and say, look,
oh, yeah,
look what I'm doing. I'm demanding. I'm, you know, and now he's got this thing. I've seen this three times in a week. He throws some variation of the word damn.
Oh, is that right?
In the middle of a tirade to show that, you know, I'm being manly. I'm going to mildly swear. I'm going to show you what a tough guy I am.
He seems genuinely willing to jump into the third rail of politics, taking local control if he has to. This is such BS. He's just grandstanding again the way he likes to do. We did this story yesterday when he ran for governor in 2018. I'm going to build 3.5 million homes. They're going to get built. Nowhere near that. Now the goal is 2.5 million. Apparently, when asked about the 3.5 million, well, that was aspirational.
Right.
I like that word. That's another Newsom word, aspirational.
Hardly anything was built. About 13% of the goal, they made plans. Well, you and I could make plans. I could draw up a house. I could draw up an apartment building. But they weren't actually built. And again, the whole premise, why should they be built? Why should people come from out of state with their drug addiction and mental illness problems, and then I have to pay for their new house?
Particularly if they're going to areas like Venice, you know, beach property, they get an apartment or a house. Get out of here. As we've been mentioning for quite a while now, you give them a tent or you put them in one of those stupid Garcetti encampments. They're rejecting that now. I want a real place to live. Privacy. Because my own rules.
How about we don't negotiate with the insane?
Exactly right.
Let alone take them seriously. I mean, seriously, these are insane people. They're drug addicted or they're mentally ill. I'm not going to get into a negotiation over spending $500,000 or $700,000 for their new apartment so that they could do what in? They're not going to work. There's like a level of unreality that is astounding. Absolutely astounding. We've met a lot of these people. We've done several shows from homeless encampments. They're not going to work. They're never going to work. Their brains are severely damaged.
Yeah, they become very dysfunctional, and what you consider to be a norm of going to work and paying for things and having a normal life is not in their, and they're not going to do that.
And I so resent everybody at the LA Times, this Anita Chabria, Gavin Newsom, pretending that they're normal people, and if we just build them a house, everything's going to be okay. No. No. They have no right to a house. They have no right to our money to build them a house. Because they're never going to work for it. They can't. They're not capable. And I don't know why it's so wrong to say that. These people, the ones, the crazy ones in the street, are not capable of working. They're never going to earn anything. And we don't owe them anything.
Well, when we come back, speaking of Newsom, because that's where he hangs out a lot, Sacramento apparently now has more unhoused people than San Francisco. Neither city's that big, but that's still kind of shocking. We'll talk about what's going on there. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
In just minutes, right after Deborah's news, about 15 minutes, we're going to have Brian Dalle on. He's running as the Republican against Gavin Newsom for governor. 5 o'clock, Rick Caruso running for mayor of L.A.
We're full of candidates today. Anybody else?
We are full of it.
Monday, though, will be the hour of candidates at 5 o'clock for those running for, I guess, lesser-known positions than mayor and governor. You'll get 30 seconds on the show Monday in the 5 o'clock hour if you're on KFI. We were just talking about Governor Newsom doing an interview with a dopey El Segundo Times columnist about how he's rejecting a lot of the local plans dealing with trying to reduce homelessness. It's not being ambitious enough. We've got to do more. And I'm going to put down the gauntlet a bit, and if I have to take over, I will. Which is the same thing they said, and it's pointed out in the column, about building more homes, which apparently hasn't gone very well either. And that's because some people like their communities as they are. They don't want them to grow by double. They don't want big apartment buildings sprouting up in the middle of their town.
Yeah.
They don't want that.
And there's always this finger wagging in these stories and columns about how everybody says they want to help the homeless, but then they all turn into NIMBYs. And every time I look at that, it goes, well, yes. Yes.
Earn your own right to be a NIMBY. How's that for an answer?
That's right. It took most people decades to work and save and be able to afford a home in Southern California. We know what that takes, right? They don't hand those out for free. So, yeah, after you've worked for 20 years and now you got a family you're taking care of and you hear that some idiot, empty box like Newsom or Garcetti wants to open up some kind of homeless shelter in your neighborhood, it's like, no, you know, you want to chase him with a shovel. No, you're not going to do that. I'm not living that way. I don't want to live that way. I don't have to live that way. You go live that way. You're crazy.
One place we haven't talked about in California when it comes to homelessness in a while is Sacramento. Homelessness has risen 70% in that city. In fact, at least 9,278 people are estimated to be without a home. The majority, of course, because this is California, sleep outdoors or in cars. This is more than San Francisco, according to one of the latest counts. They are on levees near schools next to busy roads. We've talked about that American River, where a couple of years ago, apparently it was all full of feces, bacteria.
Oh, yeah.
American River Parkway.
It was like a toxic waste dump. There was so much human poo in it.
Yeah, and there's a picture here. 60 tents pitched us alongside the American River. Tawana James is doing her best to comfort a friend at the end of her wits. All day, the woman says she's been waiting for a caseworker from a Sacramento nonprofit to come pick her up and put her on a list for housing.
A caseworker. And by the way, the jackhole who runs Sacramento is Daryl Steinberg, who used to run the state Senate.
Yes.
He's another guy, just like the slobs here in L.A. who bounce from job to job and legislature to city council to county supervisor. Same people bouncing around till they get term limited out. Complete incompetent he is. absolute total incompetent. Homelessness has more than tripled while he's been mayor.
Yeah, why Sacramento? I don't know. I guess it's another area that just tolerates it, since where all the government officials are.
And Newsom sees this every day. For the last 12 years, he's worked in Sacramento. 12 years, he's seen it every day. He's done nothing about it. Nothing. Right in front of his nose, he's seen thousands and thousands of people end up in the street. And then he sits in his office and starts pounding his desk and saying, you know, we've got to do something about this. There was one quote I wanted to read you from that other story. He was yelling at the writer saying, deliver damn results. That's what he's telling. Yeah. It's a crisis. Act like it. Everybody step up. I'm not the mayor. You want me to come in? I'll do the job. I'll do it. Happily. I've been going into cities cleaning up encampments. Has anyone got the hint? If someone did that to me when I was mayor, I'd be like, okay, I got it.
He's been going into cities cleaning up encampments? Where does that happen?
He shows up for the stupid photo ops. And he cleans up garbage for half an hour, and it makes the TV all night. Oh, Gavin Newsom rolled up his sleeves today in downtown Oakland and helped dismantle a homeless encampment. Again, posturing, posing, pretending.
In Sacramento, they have a ballot measure, Measure O, and it will allow, it'll push encampments out of public spaces and allow residents harmed by unlawful camping to take legal action against the city. Apparently, it's been pushed by local business leaders. I don't know if Daryl Steinberg's a supporter or not, but it's something that the people there, I guess they got on the ballot with enough signatures to try to take more control of this situation from the dopey local politicians, who, as we found out everywhere we go, are just entranced and they're captive from the activist groups. The activist groups are running things just about everywhere, backed up by the nonprofits and the whole homeless industrial complex. That's why we're stuck where we are. You mentioned the word enforcement, and they come after you big time.
Well, and you got to fight them off. You cannot be intimidated by these crazy people. They're paid to be crazy. They make money with their nonprofits. Six-figure salaries some of these activists make, and they've got all day to act crazy and yell at you. You just got to tell them to go screw themselves. Just give them the big F and U.
Yeah. And remember, there was talk, this is a few years ago, when Newsom actually made Daryl Steinberg the head of another one of his task forces on homelessness.
Yeah.
And one of their first plans was, we have an obligation to find housing for people, but they have an obligation to take it. And I think at the time, everyone was like, all right, well, that means just a shelter bed. You see, that's gone now.
Mm-hmm.
Shelter beds are no good.
Right. It's a moving target, isn't it?
And we don't want any rules. And we want private, permanent housing. That's all we're going to stand for. Otherwise, we're going to sit here in the park until you come up with that.
So the one thing they absolutely will never get is the one thing they're going to insist on, or they're going to keep defecating all over the public space. Right.
That's why you need to tell them to move on and get a hold of their lives and change their lives. All right, coming up next, State Senator Brian Dawley, a Republican, is on your ballot for governor against Newsom. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. On sale now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at AvalonWaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20%. 20% off today.